This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Welcome. Welcome in. What a great Sunday. We're glad you're here and joining us on a Sunday to worship. Be a part of just a week before our Christmas services, and it's gonna be an amazing. Today's gonna be amazing. Just letting God speak into your life. We're gonna talk about the miracle of Jesus and what that means for all of us. But let me talk first about next week before we dive into the teaching today. That next week there's five different services for us: two on Sunday, three on Saturday, two on Sunday. We have tickets that are out in the lobby, or you can go online. Let me explain a little bit about the tickets. It helps us make sure that there's enough seats each service for everyone. So if you're going to bring some people, and I'm going to ask you, like, who are you bringing? Because we need to be bringing people, because these services, people will say yes to. Like, when you invite a friend to Christmas, they're going to say yes. And so you have coworkers, you have family members that need to be in a church next weekend. And when you reach out to them this week and invite them, it's the greatest opportunity of the year, Christmas and Easter, just to say, hey, we're having a special Christmas service. Would you like to come and join us? So we're going to have three services. The first service on Saturday is filling up quickly. The first service on Sunday is filling up quickly. So if you guys are here, second service Sunday. So you guys have some options. I'm just asking, you know, if you have a little flexibility in your schedule, that let's go to the second or third service on Saturday, or let's come to the second service on Sunday. That will give us opportunity to open up seats for more and more people in the community. They're going to want to come. So this last 7 days is going to be the big push of a lot of people, you know, reaching out to us and figuring out when they can come. And so we want to be able to say, absolutely come, and we have a spot for you, and we have a seat open for you. And so make sure to get your tickets. Make sure that your tickets are for those who are going to be in this room. So if some of your kids are in the other part of the building, in their family life areas, they don't need tickets. If they're going to be sitting in this room, they need tickets, so then we can adjust and figure out how many seats are going to be filled. So it is going to be great. I cannot believe we're already this close to Christmas, and we're about 10 days. But what I want you to ask yourself is this week, in the next 7 days, like, who can I invite? Who can I bring? And who's God putting on your heart that you can make an impact in? You can make a difference in somebody's life by inviting them and bringing them to Christmas. So let's talk about the series that we've been in the last few weeks. Is just this idea of the greatest time of the year, the greatest time of Christmas. And we talked about the greatest promise. We talked about 2 weeks ago, looking at the prophets from hundreds of years ago, talking about Jesus being born. And so 100 years before Jesus was born. So 2,700 years ago, you know, there were these prophets explaining how Jesus would be born. And then, as we know the Christmas story, it's exactly the way it happened. Then we talked last week about the greatest name, the powerful name of Jesus, that even the angel comes and visits and says, "This is, you are to name him Jesus." Jesus means, it's Yeshua. It means the one who saves. It means the, you know, the salvation, the cry for help. And that Jesus' name has so much meaning. You can go online and listen to that. This week, we're talking about the greatest miracle. And the greatest miracle of Jesus being born, it's this miracle birth. And it's a miracle birth that doesn't make much sense, but it does change the world. And I want us to understand that today. I want us to study. I want us to look at it. I want us to think about it. I want us to understand that there's this miracle birth that, to be honest, can be a little confusing, but it's life-changing. And it can be life-changing for you, and it can be life-changing for others. And we need to understand the power and the significance of how Jesus was born. And it's all through this miracle. Now, I know a lot of times we wonder about miracles, you know, and we get confused with that. The last week, I was looking at our tickets, and I'm trying to figure out, like, hundreds of people and making sure that, You know, we've got seats and chairs for everybody, for these hundreds of people. And when we were talking about that, kind of analyzing the different services, I had a bit of a flashback. And the flashback was back when I became a pastor in 2009. And the church just graciously trusted to bring me on as the lead pastor. And I'm not sure still to this day why, but it was a big step, and it was nervous, but God gave me some vision to say, God, you know, what are we going to do in the community, and how can we use our church to reach the lost? And so right out of the gate, really, I got the permission just to begin to make some changes and, you know, implement some change that I thought God was leading our direction and giving us a vision. And so what that looked like was this room began to change a little bit. In fact, all of us, a lot of you guys would have no idea, we used to all face this direction, and the stage was over there, and this was a nice long tunnel of seats looking one direction, and no one sat except the back half. So imagine all of you guys staring at a stage over there. And anyway, so we decided to change it and made some other changes. And to change this room, we literally had to go meet out in a tent for a couple Sundays because we were kind of do-it-yourself. We renovated this by ourselves. And when we were doing that, we had to meet out in the tent. And so our church for literally decades was a church of about 150 to 175. That's kind of, you could look at any kind of year over the last decades, and that was kind of where we were at. As soon as I became pastor and started making some of these changes, I was getting the great opportunity to shrink a church. Because that first Sunday when we met out in the tent, I think there's about 90 of us. And my heart just sank. And I just remember it. I remember thinking, I mean, here we are last week going, okay, we got hundreds of people in this service, hundreds in this service, 100 here. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm just weeks into being pastor. And this is the direction arrow is not going the right way. Like, this is not good. And I was probably at a pretty low confidence of being senior pastor going, I don't know if these changes are the right changes and people aren't coming and this is not good and I'm not sure what I'm doing. I just remember, and I remember being in this tent going, there's not very many people here today. What in the heck is going on? And I remember speaking that day, and I don't even remember what I preached on. I have no idea what I preached on, but I remember at the end of the message, we invited people up to come up if they wanted to be prayed for. And just like we do every Sunday, you guys can meet over here in the corner and our prayer team will pray for you guys. But on that Sunday, we invited a few people up and a few people come up. And one of them was Tina. She's our Next Steps pastor. Just got brought on this last week as Next Steps pastor. But I didn't hardly know her then. And she came up and she'd been suffering massive major migraines. Like couldn't think straight kind of migraines. And her friend Karen came up and just got behind her and just prayed for her. And as soon as Karen started praying for her, immediately the headache was just gone, just disappeared, just completely gone and healed. And God touched her life right there. And I remember sitting there and I remember hearing that story. And I remember, you know, that God did something miraculous in her life. And at my area of being like at a low self-esteem and low confidence of, are we really, I felt like I was losing control of the church. God shows up and he takes control. And I want us to understand that that's the miracle side of God, is when we don't think that we're in control, we're not supposed to be in control. We give God permission and he takes control. And God is in control when a lot of times we can't even be in control because the situation is out of our control. And God shows up right when we need him the most. And that's because he's the God of miracles. He's the God who can heal. He's the God that can deliver. He's the God that can provide. He's the God that can do something supernatural in your life when a lot of times all we do is lean in on the natural side of living. How can I figure this out? How can I solve this? And we think in the natural, and God's like, hey, I'm the supernatural. You're used to living in the ordinary. Let's do something extraordinary. And that's the God that we serve. And I know, though, that, and you've probably wondered, you've had a situation in your life, and you're wondering, can God really fix this, though? Like I know I've heard of that miracle story, and I've heard of that, but this is me and my story, and my marriage, or my finances, or my whatever. And have you ever wondered, can God really do anything about this? Come on now, we've all been there. We've all been where we've realized, I know, I think I might be questioning God here. I don't know if God can really solve this one. And I want us to understand at Christmas that it's this gift that God is still in the miracle business. God is still a healer. He's still the physician. He's the provider. And God can do a miracle in your life. We just have to be willing to see it for who he is. Now this, I'm going to quote not the greatest theologian in the world, but someone who's just brilliant. Albert Einstein. Look at this. Albert Einstein says this: there are only two ways to live your life. One is if nothing is a miracle. The other is as if everything is. This guy's just a scientist and a brilliant, but he comprehends the idea that, listen, we need to open up our eyes and see that there's this wonder and this awe of the miraculous. We need to understand that there's miracles all around us. Your life is a miracle. Right now, you are breathing and your blood is beating. Your blood is being circulated all throughout your body, and your heart just keeps pumping it and pumping it and pumping it. And guess what? You're not even telling it to do it. You don't have anything to do with that. You don't have to tell your heart, pump, 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 but it's just doing it. And this blood is circulating all throughout your body. And at the same time that that's happening, you're breathing in oxygen and your lungs are processing all of that. And then it's happening while you're sleeping. It's happening while you're daydreaming. It's happening while you're just hanging out. You're breathing because God's created you that way, and it's miraculous. And we need to understand just our own lives are miraculous. Luke says this. Now, Luke was a physician. And Luke wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he's one of the four gospel writers. And he was there with the life of Jesus. He wrote Luke that he also wrote the book of Acts. It's kind of like part one and part two. And he says this in Acts. He says, there you go. God himself gives life and breath to everything. This is a physician talking, helping us understand this. And he's saying, listen, God himself gives life and breath. Like, God is the author of life. He breathes life into us. It's all supernatural. It's life-giving. And I want us to understand that God is the God of miracles. And this Christmas time is a gift for us to re-believe. Christmas is a time that we can re-examine. Christmas is that time that we can go back and understand everything about our faith is based on miracles. And we need to believe that, and we need to buy into that. We need to know that the God of miracles from the birth of Jesus is still the God of miracles in my life today. He's the God of miracles of your life today, and we need to be open to that and understand that. The miracle birth doesn't always make sense, but it does make a difference in your life. The miracle birth story is life-changing. Let's take a look at it. It's in Matthew chapter 1. Now, I've encouraged you guys in the last couple weeks, read Matthew chapter 1 and 2. Read Luke chapter 1 and 2. Read the scriptures that talk about the Christmas story. Dive into that. You have 1 week left. Now, just this week, read Luke, read Matthew, read the first couple chapters. But this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, while she was still a virgin, now I'm not going to have a birds and the bees conversation. You might need to have that today at lunch. Like this, if you're sitting next to someone going, hey, what's that mean? That's a great, go to Taco Bell and talk about this, okay? That's a great thing to do at lunch today. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us to understand something. This is like supernatural conception. This is something that is not ordinary. Okay, this is not natural. This isn't sometimes it happens this way, sometimes it happens this way. No, it's not that way. This is definitely not a natural pregnancy story. This is a supernatural pregnancy story. And I want us to understand, this is undeniably a God thing. Undeniably. There's no way that this can happen, that someone can be a virgin and get pregnant. It's impossible for this to happen in this timeline to say, listen, this is the way it's going to be. But it's this undeniable, God is in the middle of this. And it goes on and says this: Joseph, the fiancé, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He goes on, finishes, and says, then she will have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We talked about that last week. But think about this. This part of the story has potential for just catastrophic relational failure. Okay, Joseph is engaged to Mary, the fiance. And all of a sudden, Mary shows up and is like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, you telling me what? It's like, what? You know, and that, he's probably, that's kind of a nice way of thinking about it. But no, literally, it's like so confused, so heartbroken. It says that he quietly, like he didn't want to disgrace. She could have went out and got stoned because you know, it was the penalty of adultery. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have happened to Mary, but Joseph said, you know what? Deep down, he loved her, and he thinks she made a horrible decision, and so he's just going to just try not to disgrace her. But it's off. Like, it's off. And you know that there's a line that you and I have said in previous relationships. It's, I thought you loved me. You know Joseph's thinking that. I thought you loved me. I thought you said forever. I thought we were together. I thought you were going to take care of me. I thought this was, you know, and Joseph's like, I thought we were together here. And then you show up and you tell me that. But what happens is God has to get involved and brings Joseph into the story. It says, hey, Joseph. And so literally sends a messenger to speak to Joseph in this dream to let Joseph know, hey, this is a God thing. I'm involved in this one. Like, you've got to allow this to take place. You've got to continue to be the dad of this baby. You have to help Mary raise baby Jesus. In fact, you're going to name him Jesus, the Savior of the world. And God gets a hold of Joseph and says, I need you, and I need you to understand this. I want us to learn from that today. Like, even though a lot of times miracles are messy, and the supernatural is messy and confusing, God brings clarity. There's things that sometimes that happen, and we like to build this little nice tidy box and say, well, this is how, when I pray, this is how God answers prayers. And in my faith in God, this is how God works. And the way we do church, this is how we do church, because this fits into my box of God. And everything just looks like this and feels like this, and I can explain it, and it makes sense. And God's like, it doesn't always work that way. And so he brings clarity to Joseph and says, I'm in the middle of this. You can trust me here. That, yeah, Mary is pregnant, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, because this is God's son to save the world. And I want us to know, like, sometimes we don't get it. Like, we don't understand the supernatural, and it falls outside of our nice, clean box. And all of us have our own little box of what it looks like. The person next to you, their box is a little bigger and a little different, but we all have a box of where God fits. And my guess is, inside of your box, your fiance getting pregnant outside of you by the Holy Spirit probably wouldn't have fit in there if that was the conversation that happened in your relationship. Honey, it was God. It was like I've never done anything. And it wasn't somebody else. It was a God thing. You know, you would have said, that doesn't fit in my box. Like, there's no way God would do that. And that's where Joseph found himself, was like, there's no way. And so God talks to him in a dream and says, listen, this is a God thing. In fact, Matthew says, this isn't just like we've seen this coming. And Matthew writes about like why all this took place. He says this because all of this occurred, all of this meaning Mary getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit and not Joseph and the confusing miracle that didn't make sense. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, who said, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Matthew says, he goes, listen, this has been talked about. So he's writing this down and saying, this is the way it was going to be. This is the way it's been prophesied for hundreds of years. And he says, this is what the prophet has said. Now, who was that prophet? The prophet was Isaiah. Isaiah said it 700 years ago. We talked about that a couple weeks. This is exactly what the prophet said. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 7. It says, oh yeah. All right, then the Lord himself will give you the sign. God's going to give you some evidence. He's going to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Messiah is here. This is Isaiah saying this 700 years before Jesus was born. God's going to give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. 700 years before Jesus is born, Isaiah is saying that a virgin is going to give birth to a child. Like, that's not something you guess. That's not something that you roll the dice and go, I hope this happens. This is something that you know, that you know, that you know, that you heard from God. If you're willing to proclaim that publicly as a prophet, to say, the way the Messiah is coming is through a virgin. It's undeniable sign that God is in the middle of this. It's an undeniable statement of God can heal, God can deliver, God can meet your need. God can bring a savior into the world through a virgin. Now, when Joseph woke up, Matthew continues, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. He didn't divorce her, he didn't get rid of her, he didn't throw out. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, Matthew here is like, I'm sure Joseph's like, dude, that's my business. What are you saying? Like, why did you write that down? And this might be another conversation you have to have at Taco Bell about the birds and the bees. I'm not sure who's sitting next to you today, but it is part of the Christmas story. It doesn't really happen in the nativity. But anyway, we don't really do that. But Joseph, so Matthew's writing this down. This is stuff that's in people's private diaries, not publicly to say, hey, this would look good in the Bible, man. This is going to sell a lot of copies. I'm going to write this down. But why in the world, Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, why? Why do we need to know this part of their life? Why do we need to know that? It's because, again, undeniable truth that this is a God miracle. Because Joseph, of all people, if this was a fictional story, there would have been a fiance saying, I'm not in on this one. She is out on her own and she made up this story and whatever. But this is Joseph able to say, we were not together until the baby was born. We were never together. So it's this undeniable miracle story of a pregnancy that led to the Savior of the world being born into our world. And we need to understand this is a God thing, and there's not a lot of argument to that, because the miracle saves the world, and the miracle is undeniable, the way it's happened and the way it was prophesied 700 years before that. And I want us to know that's not just the only miracle. Miracles are for today. The God who orchestrated how his son was coming into the world is the same God who can orchestrate a miracle in your life. It's the same God that can heal. It's the same God that can touch your mind. It's the same God that can restore a relationship. It's the same God that can bring peace in the middle of the darkness. We sang all about that today. That's the God that we serve. He's not a one-time miracle. It's not the miracle of Jesus being born, the miracle of Jesus coming back from the grave. Now Jesus is done with miracles. Not at all. The God of the supernatural is the God of, he's our God. He's our friend. He's our Savior. This is the God that we serve. And a lot of times we struggle to figure it out. Really? I don't know how God does this. I don't know. I don't understand these miracle things. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what you call someone who studies birds? An ornithologist. Anybody know that? I'm just curious. Did anybody know what an ornithologist was? Ornithologist? Yeah? Yeah? Nobody? Yeah. Maybe one. Think of this. Birds don't need ornithologists to fly. And God doesn't need theologians in order to do miracles. Because it doesn't matter if you can figure it out. It doesn't, the bird's gonna fly whether someone's studying the bird or not. We don't have to understand how a bird flies. We can look up in the sky and watch them fly. And we don't have to figure out how God does miracles. All we have to do is believe and know, yeah, God does miracles. God's not looking for people who will tell him what he can and cannot do. God is looking for people who will embrace the faith, like a Joseph and a Mary, with childlike faith, embrace the fact that God is doing something very supernatural in their lives, and they're going to be the parents of the Son of God, who's the Messiah of the world. And it even said there was times where Mary, people were worshiping Jesus, and the shepherds, we're going to talk about this next week, the shepherds were responding and expressive, and Mary just sat and she just pondered it with childlike faith that God is up to something. And that's what we need to do with this idea of miracles, is we just need to embrace that miracles are around us all the time, and God is up to something. But he's not up to something 2,000 years ago in the Nativity in Bethlehem. He's up to something right now in your life. The God who can bring us Jesus is the God who can bring you the miracle that you need today, this very moment. Because there's miracles around us all the time. There's miracle stories around us all the time. I want you to lean in and listen to Shauna. She's someone who attends a church here, and she was telling me a story and telling us something that God had done, and I'm like, you've got to be able to share that. Like, can we share that? Because God is at work in your life, and people need to hear that this is how God works. So I want you to watch this on the screens. This is Shauna. We really just need to open up our eyes and see God working for the way he can work and do the miracles that he can do. We need to start living a life of expecting miracles and anticipating God moving in the supernatural instead of expecting me not to be the one to receive. Like, filter your life with, I know God can move in this situation, instead of filtering life through, I doubt God's going to do something for me. We need to open up our eyes and see the God of the world involved in so many areas. Again, Albert Einstein says this, it's more because he's brilliant, not because he's a theologian. The person who cannot experience wonder has ceased living. Why? Because he has ceased seeing. It's because they quit opening up their eyes to the wonder of the world. We need to open up our eyes to the wonder of God. We need to open up our eyes to the potential that he has in our lives. We need to open up our eyes and see things through the supernatural, not just the natural. And I want us at this Christmas, I hope that we can re-experience the mystery of Christmas. I want you to re-experience the an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God of creation was born as a helpless little baby in a manger in such a crazy virgin pregnancy story that is so confusing, and it didn't make sense, but it did change the world. And it changes our lives. And it can breathe hope into you today. That if God can do that, just imagine what he can do in my life. That the miracle Christmas story helps bring hope and stirs it inside of us to say, I think God can heal, provide, and do a miracle. We have to open up our eyes and see that. We have to believe in those things. When my wife Joy was in high school, she had an injury in her back from a weightlifting thing that she was doing in PE, and went into college and still massive back injury and couldn't bend down, touch her toes kind of thing without pain. And she went to a Christian college when she was a freshman. And when she was there, they had a special, you know, they had different services, and she remembers going forward and being prayed for, and one of her friends came up and just put his hand on her back and said, "I want to pray for you," and just pray that God would heal her. And then he just says, "Hey, why don't you bend down and touch her toes?" And she could bend down and touch her toes, and she was pain-free, completely healed. And just she just can remember that story of how fascinating it is for someone to pray and then say, "Hey, why don't you just bend down and touch your toes?" And the pain was completely gone. I remember there was a time where Joy's sister was flying in and the family's flying in. I think we're picking them up in Chicago, and we're going to go pick her up at the airport and then spend the day in Chicago for a little bit before coming back. And before that, for whatever reason, I hurt my ankle, and I sprained it really bad, and it was totally not weight-bearing, and I couldn't put any weight on my ankle. And I remember thinking, this is going to be a horrible day, going and picking up luggage and going to the airport and all the walking to do. We're supposed to go to Chicago and walk all around, and here I'm going to be hobbling around. And not a horrible thing in the big spectrum of life, but very inconvenient. And I just remember we were living on Prairie, and we were in our little bedroom, and I just remember praying, "God, like, touch my ankle. Like, Lord, you know that tomorrow I just got a lot of walking, and if you could just touch my ankle." And I did that, like, shifting my weight to see, like, did it work? Did it work? You know? And I remember just praying, and I remember just kind of shifting my weight, and it's like, there was zero pain, like no pain. I got so excited that I was like, "Joy, like I can walk, like I can walk." I remember I called Brett Bond. Brett's in the front row. He probably doesn't remember this. I called him. I said, "You're not going to believe this, but I just prayed for my ankle, and now it doesn't feel bad." And he's probably on the other line going, "What are you talking about? Like not too many people call you and they're excited because their ankle doesn't hurt anymore." And I was just blown away that it's like I prayed and now it's good, and like I can walk, and now we can go and do the Chicago thing and all of this. There's stories after stories like that. We had people, you know, make a pledge for our neighbors that was above and stretched them. And then literally days afterwards, God provided an extra source of income to take care of that plus some. It's just the way God works. He's still in the miracle business. Like God wants to heal. He wants to meet needs. There's miracle stories all the time. The question is, are we opening up our eyes and seeing God work for who he is? Or are we overanalyzing it and we're trying to figure it out? Because when we try to figure it out, we open the door to Satan to come in and just cast all kind of doubt, all kind of skepticism. And we're trying to be somebody who doesn't understand birds, trying to figure out why a bird can fly. And it doesn't really matter if you and I understand why a bird can fly. Birds fly. And it doesn't really matter if you and I ever understand how God works his miracles. He works his miracles. All we have to do is open up our eyes and say, "That's a miracle. That was God." And Christmas is a time we can open up our eyes and go, "That's God. That was God." Only God. Only God could bring a baby into the world to save us from our sins through a virgin pregnancy. Only God. And that same God wants to do something in your life today too. Well, I want you to stand up with me because I want to pray for you guys today to receive from God a miracle. And I want you just to where you're at today. In fact, this will be bold, but I want you to be able to do this. Is if you're needing a miracle in your life, because you're surrounded by a bunch of just incredibly loving people, would you raise your hand and say, "You know what, that's me. I need a miracle today." You don't have to say what it is. Just say, "I need a miracle." And I want other people to look around and just see some hands up. Because people are going to pray for you. And they're not going to do anything goofy. They're going to look and go, "Hey, there's someone in the front row. There's someone three people down. They're going to pray for you." Because we're going to believe in miracles. And I also believe in the greatest miracle is God saving you from your sins and rescuing us. Maybe that's the first miracle you need today, is God just literally coming into your life and restoring your life. So let's pray. And if you need that miracle, raise your hand. God, we're here today humbly, as humble as a small little nativity in a manger in the middle of nowhere. We have nothing, God. And we ask you for things that are way out of our control, and we pray for a miracle. We pray, Jesus, that you provide. We pray, Jesus, that you heal. We pray, Jesus, that you restore. I pray, Jesus, that today, whatever is in front of the person that has a need, you can meet that need. I pray, Holy Spirit, you do the ministering in their life. I pray you be the Prince of Peace in the darkest of hours. I pray you be their great physician right now, and you heal. You remove cancer. You fix hearts. You fix things in the physical, Lord, that only you can do in the supernatural. Heal bodies today, God. Restore relationships today, God. Provide financially in supernatural ways today, God. And I pray if there's anyone here that, Lord, they need you to be their Lord and Savior, that they would open up their hearts to you right now and invite you in. That this idea of a big and amazing God, you're also a personal God. And God, help us to just call on you to be our personal Lord, our personal leader of our life, our personal Savior today. Lord, thanks that you died so we could live and you take our sins away. Help us to follow you the rest of our life. And I pray for in days to come, great, amazing stories of miracles and healings and provision and God, some God stories that we could share. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.